third message of the series, Rising to the Call. We're going to be talking about rising to the call of holiness. We've been talking about our callings in life. And if you recall that we talked about an act of God, an irrevocable act of God that establishes a special relationship that has responsibilities, privileges, and promises that provide hope for the future. And we also mentioned that faithfulness in a calling is what prepares us for future callings. Well, we're going to take all of that and put it together, but work it out in one particular area. And that has to do with a principle, the principle of holiness. So before we go any further, I think if we're going to talk about holiness, we are certainly going to need the assistance of the Holy Spirit. And so why don't we bow together in prayer and ask the Lord to lead us. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you would grant us the Holy Spirit's ministry of teaching us and opening our hearts to understand holiness. You're the Holy God who's given the Holy One, who fills us with the Holy Spirit, who's called us with a holy calling. We are a holy people. And Father, I pray that you'll give us a deeper and greater understanding of all that we just spoke of. That, Lord, the impact of this will be generations who know how to live holy before God, faithful to their callings. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We talked about our callings, and in the last session there on the calls of God, we talked about our call as sons of God. And that's what I want to focus on in this session. We have been called with a holy calling. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, Paul wrote that. He says, we have been called with a holy calling. In Leviticus chapter 20, verse 26, God spoke this. He says, thus you are to be holy to me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and I have set you apart from the peoples to be mine. And we know that's true as Christians. We've been set apart from the peoples to be His. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for His own possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. Isn't that an incredible statement? A holy people. 1 Peter 2, verse 9, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. What does that mean, holiness? What does it mean to be a holy people? Do you find yourself having a hard time getting a handle on that one? Really understanding what it means in practical application. As long as I can remember, I've heard that, well, Christians are saints. They're holy ones. They're people who are holy people, a holy nation. But I would have to say, even today, I struggle grasping that. Have a little more insight on it, and I hope I can share it with you during this session. We're to be holy people. What does it mean to be holy? Well, it means to be set apart. When we talk about something as holy, we're talking about setting it apart and making it distinct from everyone else, everything else. It indicates, well, what we talked about in the last session, a special relationship. It means to set something apart or alone from the rest in that category. So if we have a particular category of people, what God did was He chose a people and He set them apart in that category of people. If we say that we have taken a woman and we have set her apart out of that category of people, we've set them apart to a special relationship. Well, not only have we been called to a holy calling, but we've been called to holiness. Because there's a different thing there. We have a holy calling. We're set apart by God for Him. But then at the same time, there are verses that have to do with the fact that we're to live like we are holy. There's to be a holiness about our lives. What does that mean? Well, it means to be set apart for God's purposes alone. Set apart for God's purposes alone. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, pursue peace with all men and sanctification. And that word sanctification in the New American is the very same word for holy. It's holiness in the King James Version. It's the same root word for holy. So it's to pursue holiness without which no one will see the Lord. That's pretty important, isn't it? If we're going to see the Lord, we're to pursue holiness. Leviticus 19:2. Speak to all the congregation of the sons of Israel and say to them, this is what God told Moses to say to them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. There are the implications. You shall live in a holy way. Leviticus 20, verse 7. You shall consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I, the Lord your God. For I am the Lord your God. 1 Peter 1:16, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And he's quoting those same verses there. We read in 2 Corinthians 6:16 through 2:7, chapter 7, verse 1, just at the end of the last session, you recall that after saying, I shall be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, he gives them that promise, and then he says, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves of all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. We're to perfect holiness or to complete holiness. Not only are we to be holy, not only are we a holy people, but we're to treat God holy and set apart. We're to treat His relationship with honor above all others. We are to separate ourselves from the rest of the people because we have a holy calling as God's sons and daughters. Listen to Leviticus 10:3. Then Moses said to Aaron, and this is right after Aaron's sons had offered strange fire and had been consumed by the fire of God. Moses said to Aaron, it is what the Lord spoke, saying, and then he quoted this, by those who come near me, I will be treated as holy. And before all the people, I will be honored. The word holy and honored are almost used interchangeably there. So Aaron therefore kept silent. He couldn't say anything. He wasn't to respond with the typical grieving because God was to be treated holy and his sons had not treated God holy. And so therefore Aaron was to remain silent. In Numbers chapter 20, verse 12, the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you have not believed me to treat me holy in the sight of the sons of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given to them. And God spoke that again to Moses in Deuteronomy 32:51. Very same thing. He says, you broke faith with me in the midst of the sons of Israel. And he goes on to say, you did not treat me holy. So not only are we a holy people, not only are we called to be holy, but we're called to treat God holy. Now, that's in our second calling. If you remember in the last session, we talked about this, usually the second calling that we have. It may come after maybe a third or fourth one, depending on when we're born again. If we're born again like I was born again after I was married and after I was a father. So that one for me came down about number four in the order. But as sons of God, we first hear about holiness. Understanding our call to holiness impacts all of our callings in life. And that's what I wanted us to talk about here in this session, is to see how holiness is the primary principle that is to run through all the callings of life. In fact, if we understood holiness in each of our callings, boy, would life go much better. We would experience the blessings of God like maybe never before. We're to practice holiness in our calling as sons of our fathers in preparation for all other callings. You see, we turn our hearts to our fathers. The direction of our hearts reveals what's holy to us. For instance, in Luke 1:17, if you recall, Luke is talking about John the Baptist, And he said, actually, it's an angel of the Lord that is talking to the father of John the Baptist, speaking about John the Baptist. And he says, it is he who will go as a forerunner before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous, so as to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. See, if a child's heart isn't turned to his father, he will find his identity apart from his father and God's call, and will not. And we shouldn't be surprised that he wouldn't be prepared for his future callings. The way back is a very painful way to get back on track, as some of us find out. For instance, how do you treat a father holy? Well, let's talk about what we said holy was. Set apart. A son is to treat his father like he treats no one else. No one else should he give that kind of honor and obedience to. He should be attentive to the words of his father, because that's his calling. And he's to be holy to his father. And he is to treat his father as holy. Do you see how the old concept of holiness is there in that relationship? The son is holy to the father. The father is holy to the son, set apart. There's not to be any other special relationships like that relationship. The son is to treat his father as holy. Now, if he learned holiness in that calling, how would it prepare him for the rest of the callings in life? In other words, it's going to make an impact. Because you'll see that in every calling in life, from being a son of our fathers, to being sons of God, to being husbands of our wives, to being fathers of our children, grandfathers to our grandchildren, and then the final call to God, running through every one of those calls is the concept and principle of holiness. And it is the primary issue for faithfulness in all of those callings. In Proverbs 23:26, he writes, "Give me your heart, my son, and let your eyes delight in my ways," which also reveals that part of practicing holiness with our fathers is giving our fathers our hearts. In other words, we're to treasure them. Jesus said, "Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Sons are to treasure their fathers. And men, we need to teach holiness to our sons. That the reason they obey is because, yes, because of their callings, but we need to add one more thing to it. It's not just because they're our son. It's because of their calling and because of holiness. The principle of holiness is to be applied, and they need to understand it. We're also to look at our father's example. We learn from his example. Like right here it said, "Let your eyes delight in my ways," he says. So we learn from his example how to handle our next callings in life. How to relate to God, our wives and our children. See, as a son watches his father relate to his mother, he should be learning how to treat his wife holy. The application of holiness to that calling. He watches his dad to see how his dad relates to God so he can understand when he reads the scriptures, "Be holy to the Lord." He must practice it first with his father, because that's the relationship that he can touch. That's the relationship he can actually put his hands on it and work with it. Oh, that's what it means to be holy. I'm to listen to my dad. I'm to watch his ways. I'm to see what he's doing. In Proverbs chapter 4, listen to the father cry out to the son and give this instruction. "Hear, O sons, the instruction of a father, and give attention that you may gain understanding. For I give you sound teaching. Do not abandon my instruction." When I was a son to my father, tender, and the only son in the sight of my mother. Now, what has he just done? Do you see what he did? He said, okay, here's a father. He's talking to his son. And as he talks to his son, he then turns or uses as an illustration his own sonship to his father. He says, "Now, when I was a son, tender and the only son in the sight of my mother, then he taught me and said to me, 'Let your heart hold fast my words. Keep my commandments and live. Acquire wisdom. Acquire understanding. Do not forget or turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will guard you. See, there's all those responsibilities. Now he gives the promise, and she will guard you. Love her, and she will watch over you. See, so second thing that it means to be holy or to treat or to prepare in this first relationship for holiness is not only to obey our fathers, to listen to them, to have our hearts turned toward him, but also we see it means to honor our fathers by words and by our actions. This comes as we practice humility, submission, and obedience to our fathers, as we read about in chapter 6, 1 of Ephesians. We practice serving him, making him successful. When we receive and be faithful with what God has given to us through our fathers, that's honoring them. A first concern would be honoring the name of our fathers. Young men, you have the same last name as your fathers, don't you? So whatever you do, all your actions are reflecting on that name. That's your calling. And so part of being holy to your father and treating your father holy is treating his name different than anybody else's name. What concern do you give to the name Wakefield? I doubt if many of you give much concern at all to the name Wakefield. That's because you're not carrying it. It's not yours. It's not holy to you. Now, I hope my son sees it as holy. I hope my son sees his responsibility with that name, because everything he does is reflecting on my name. Well, it's his name too. He's going to be the one that's going to carry it on. So when he cares for my name by what he does and by what he says, how he behaves, he is treating me holy. He's honoring me. You're probably familiar with the verse in Proverbs where it says, a good name is to be more desired than silver, gold. Titus 2 indicates that the reason for teaching sons, the things that we're to teach the sons, is so the opponent may have nothing bad to say about us. It's all about our names, taking care of our names. We also learn to listen to our father's words, both spoken and unspoken words of the heart. Men, can you think back when you were a son? Well, you're always a son. But can you think back when you were the son of your father and you were living in his house? Can you think of some times when you really knew the heart of your father, but you didn't really pay attention to it? And you went another way that you knew your dad wouldn't like, where you just ignored his heart. Although he may never have said, don't do this, you knew. Although he had never expressed it, you knew he didn't want you doing it. And you knew why. Because you knew what it'd do to his name. And some of you may have done it anyway. Brought shame on your fathers. And no longer does he have a good name. No longer do you have a good name. And you've lost a great treasure. That's just part of treating our fathers holy. It's we bear their name. And so we care for it. And we don't want to give young men, you don't want to give the opponents of your father a good reason to shame your father's name. We want to protect that name. That's part of treating them holy. In Matthew 4:4, it's a record of Jesus being tempted, and he was being tempted to turn the stone into bread, if you recall. And here's what he answered. He says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's how we're to be to our fathers. That's holiness. See, what he's saying there is, I only listen, I set my father apart, and I only listen to him. Because that's my calling. Because I'm his son. So when the devil comes along and says, why don't you turn that stone into bread? Because Jesus is holy, and he treated his father holy, he would not listen to anyone but his father. And so he would say, let's see, is my father wanting me to turn this stone into bread? That's holiness. Practical holiness. Proverbs 4, verse 20. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them, and health to all their whole body. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. There it just shows how important a son it is to listen to the words of his father. Well, consider the importance of practicing holiness that we've just spoken of in our first calling, and how it enables us to rise to the call of holiness in all the rest of our callings in life. For instance, if we practice holiness to our fathers, consider how that relates to holiness to God in life. If we know how to treat our fathers holy and our mothers holy, whenever we become Christians and we read the scriptures about being holy, we'll know exactly what that means. Do you see? Because we've already been practicing it. Whenever we read about walk in a manner worthy, you have a holy calling. Be holy. I would like to suggest that one of the main reasons we have such a lack of holiness in the church today, and I think if there's a need for revival, boy, there's a tremendous need is today in the church. Return to holiness, where the church is holy, it's separate, it's set apart in the world. It's not like the world. It treats God as holy. It acts in a holy manner. I like to suggest the reason that's so far-fetched and not applied is because we didn't practice it in our first calling as sons of our fathers. We didn't know how to be holy to our fathers. Well, because we didn't know our callings. We didn't know we're supposed to be holy to our fathers. And I think main reason for that is our fathers didn't know that we were supposed to be holy to them. They didn't demand it. They didn't even ask it. So therefore, we weren't taught it. So then when it comes time to be holy to God, that doesn't relate very well. But that's not all. What's the third calling? Do you recall? No pun intended. Okay, pardon? Marriage. It's marriage. Now consider, how does holiness apply to marriage? How important is holiness to marriage? Regarding your relationship with your wife. That's incredible. If we practice turning our hearts to our fathers and maintain that holiness, that prepares us for being holy to our wives. To treat our wives holy, what does that mean? Here's another definition. Let me add this to our definition of holiness. It means not to treat someone as common. God's saying, when you treat me holy, you don't treat me like other gods. There are no other gods. I like to suggest that whenever we marry a woman, the main thing we're to do is treat her as holy. I remember Peter Lord one time in an illustration gave this. Peter was the pastor at Park Avenue Baptist Church in Titusville, Florida, where we were for a number of years. And I remember Peter saying, how do you think my wife would respond before we got married if I said, you know, honey, I want to marry you, but I want you to give me 2 days out of the year that I can just go be with any woman I want to. What do you think she'd say? Well, she'd say, no, you can't do that. I'm not going to go into a relationship like that. Why would she even think about that or allow that? There's no way. Because she wants to be treated holy. She wants to be the one that gets all of his love and attention. That he's to just have eyes for her. That to treat her holy is to honor her above every other woman. Okay, so how do we practice that, men? How do you treat your wife holy? That means she gets the attention. You don't give other women the attention that you give to your wife. Your eyes don't look at other women because you have no calling to them. You're holy to your wife. Now, how does this affect a young man before he gets married? Think about that one. Well, if before you get married, your eyes are going to every woman to lust after her, what makes you think you're going to stop doing that when you get married? It's not a matter of checking out all the women to find a wife that's the way to do it. Because what that ignores is holiness. For instance, consider this particular verse in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Here's what it says. Paul writing to them about how to get a wife. He says, for this is the will of God, your sanctification, your holiness, that you abstain from sexual immorality, and that each of you know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, in holiness. He's saying, don't go get a wife like the lustful Gentiles do. They're just out there, they're not treating anybody holy. Everybody's common. They use everybody. They're just trying to get what they can from everybody. Not our way. God's way is holiness. You apply holiness to every area of life, every relationship. When you're a young man and you're waiting for a wife, you're to wait for a wife. It's not time to check out all the women and find out who you're most lustful after. That's the way the world does. That's a group that does, that's a people that has no holiness, don't understand holiness. What we're to do, because we've learned holiness in our first calling, we've learned holiness with God, that when it comes to looking for a wife and waiting for a wife, we're to treat her as holy, even before we know her. Now that may seem foreign to you. It almost seems foreign to me as I'm saying it, because I didn't grow up that way. I wasn't trained with holiness. In my first calling, my parents didn't know to do this. They didn't know to teach that to me. I just did it like all the Gentiles did it, in terms of looking around and trying to find someone that would make me happy. It didn't have anything to do with holiness. And then once I got married, did I know anything about holiness? Actually, how to apply it? I'm ashamed to say I didn't. You know, and but the whole idea here is if we had learned holiness in our first calling and practiced it up until we got married, then we were born again, and then we understand holiness there because we have a framework. We have something to relate it to. Now when we get married, we're holy to our wives. And if a daughter is raised that same way, she'll be holy to her husband. The woman in Proverbs, a very interesting statement has always caught my attention. It says she does her husband good all the days of her life. That means she's doing him good before she ever meets him. She's thinking about treating him holy, setting him apart. She may not know who he is. Doesn't have to know who he is to treat him holy, right? Young men, you don't have to know who your wife is to treat your wife holy before you're married, if you understand holiness. You set her apart from everyone else and you say, I'm saving this for her. And it's just hers. And then once you get married, you practice holiness. Well, that would be easy if you've been practicing it all your life, right? And then we apply holiness as fathers. What does that mean? How do you apply the whole idea or concept of holiness as a father? Well, God has given you children. Now you have another calling. You're a father. And your responsibility in that calling is to treat your children as holy. That means you set them apart from all other responsibilities. You have a special relationship with them. You treat them as holy. They get your energy. They get your vision. They get your time. They get whatever God gives to you, you give to them because they are holy to you. Or when you're a grandfather, the same way. And I think you can see it. You can see that the concept of holiness runs through every one of the callings. And that's the way God intended it to be. And consider the importance of practicing honoring our fathers. If we practiced honoring our fathers, wouldn't that help us to know how to honor God? Wouldn't that help us to know how to honor His name and honor our wives' names? As I mentioned in the last session, to honor their reputations. Well, if we've been practicing honoring God's reputation, honoring our father's reputation, then honoring God's reputation, then when we get married, we understand part of holiness is protecting our wives' reputations by how we live our lives. That's part of treating her holy. Same thing with our children. We don't want to shame them by our actions and the way we live because we are holy to them and they are holy to us. We want to honor them. And then also we practice holiness by listening and obeying someone else's words, for instance. Look how important that is in our relationship with God. If we're practicing holiness in that first calling, we're saying, you know, the only words that are important, I'm to submit myself to the words of my father. Does he have to be right? Does he have to always do right for me to submit? No, because it's not about whether he's always right. It's about my calling. It's about holiness. God knows what my father's saying. Now, that doesn't mean we always would obey our fathers if they told us to do sinful things. We would make an appeal, of course. That would be to honor our fathers. And in fact, wouldn't it be honoring to our fathers because we so cared about his name that if he asked us to do something wicked or evil, we would say to him, Dad, I wouldn't want to do that because it would hurt your name. I want to treat your name as holy, and if I were to do that, it would hurt your name. That would be the loving thing to do. That's a loving appeal. That's a respectful appeal. It's not about whether we like our fathers or he's like us. It's all about holiness in that call. So we, if we practice listening and really listening, I mean really listening to our fathers and obeying them, think how that would translate into our relationship with God. We would really listen to God. And then when we got married, how important is listening in marriage? How important listening is? To listen to your wife, to hear her heart. That's part of treating her holy. I'm afraid some men listen more to their secretaries than they do their wives. They listen more to the philosophy of some woman in a movie than they do their wives. That's not to treat your wife as holy. To treat your wife as holy is to have your heart turned to your wife and listen to her words. Think if you'd practiced that all through your first calling as sons of your fathers, or a daughter had practiced that as a daughter of her father, then when she got married, how easy it would be to treat her husband holy. Part of that would be to listen to her husband and to follow his lead. There wouldn't be the frustration, the conflict of who's going to win out here. And I'm not saying that the husband is supposed to win out. That's not what it's about. I'm just saying it's if everybody practiced holiness in their relationship, boy, what the blessings of God that would be in that marriage. And how important is it to listen to our children and to hear the hearts of our children? You see, if we treat them holy, we realize that we set them apart, and when they get our ear, they don't just get these ears. You know, we talked about having ears to hear. We need to learn to hear not just with these ears, but we learn to hear with this ear, to hear the heart of our children with our hearts. That's part of treating them holy. And if we'd practiced hearing the hearts of our fathers and our mothers, really hearing what's deep down inside, taking the time to maybe blow past the outer reactions and the outer facial expressions and to hear, is anything wrong, honey? Oh, nothing. And they go, well, that nothing meant something. I need to be listening. So, tell me about your day. Or the same thing with our children. To listen to them, listen to their hearts. If we'd practice that, think how easy it would be to understand holiness to the Lord. Holiness to our wives, holiness to our children. Have you risen to the call of holiness? I want to ask you, will you? Consider your callings. If you'll meditate and think through, how can I be holy as a husband? I believe the Holy Spirit will tell you. And He will show you how to treat her holy. Lord, how do I treat my children holy? And He will teach you. So what do you do? What do you do now? Maybe this is the first time you've ever heard this. And you're thinking, this is bigger than I know how to apply this. I don't know. I'm not sure what to do with this. I want to ask you to consider this. Find places of repentance that need to be found where we've ignored this calling of holiness. Just look back in your relationship with your father and say, you know, boy, I didn't treat him holy at all. And take responsibility for it. Where you've not treated God holy, take responsibility for it. Where you've not treated your wife holy, take responsibility for it. Where you've not treated your children holy, Just ask God's forgiveness and take responsibility. That may mean going to them. It may mean saying, I need to ask your forgiveness. I've not really treated you as I should because I didn't realize the significance of my calling to you as your husband. You know, I mean, there were so many times I've made so many mistakes in my parenting, in my fathering, where I had to go back to my kids and say, you know what? Boy, Daddy didn't know this. I'm just coming to the light on this one. And when I'm seeing this now, I've got to say, would you please forgive me? I didn't know. I didn't realize that was a part of my calling. I didn't even understand it. And then as you explain through your mistakes, what are you doing? What's happening between you and your children? You're beginning to prepare them for their callings. You're teaching them about holiness. As you actually practice it and work it out, ask the Holy Spirit to teach you about holiness in your callings, and He will. Then apply what you've learned to all your relationships and callings in life. This is what's helped me. Think about, all right, now how do I treat God holy? Okay, that's how I should treat my father. I need to go back and look at that. Oh, that's how I need to treat my wife. And ladies, this is how I need to treat my husband. How should I have treated my father? And you'll find that some of the same problems you had treating your father holy, you have treating your husband holy. They relate that way. And so, as you rise to the calls of God in your life, you're going to experience the blessings of that. You're going to experience God's fatherhood, I think, in a new and a fresh way. Listen to Ephesians 1 in closing. Chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him, He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the kind intention of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, which He freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. And of course, that Beloved that He's speaking of is Jesus. May God give us hearts to understand holiness, to be able to teach our sons and our daughters what holiness means when they're 10, what holiness means to them when they're 12, when they're 15, before they get married. May God teach us how to be holy. That's our prayer. Would you join me in that prayer? And let's just lift this before the Lord and ask God to teach us in the days to come. Our Father in heaven, I thank You for giving us, through the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, that we might be holy. You've called us holy ones, saints, a people set apart to You. And Lord, where we've not known that, we've not understood it, please forgive us. Father, I pray that You would give us humble hearts. And Lord, we would not feel like we that we don't feel that we can do this on our own, but that, Lord, we must look to You, that You would teach us. When I think about humility and being holy, they so go together. Lord, make us humble men and women, humble children, Lord, that receive the callings of God in our lives, acknowledge them as Your action. That we embrace our responsibilities, with the primary responsibility being to be holy and to treat those special relationships as holy. And Lord, we thank You for the promises that come, that if we will walk in a manner worthy of You, that Lord, if we will perfect holiness, that You'll be a father to us, and we'll be sons and daughters to You. In Jesus' name, amen.